One of our favorite preachers is a fellow by the name of Frederick Buechner, who is a Presbyterian writer. And for years, he has been giving the same advice to those who are interested in what God may be doing in their lives. And this is what he says. Keep track of any moment that brings a tear to your eye or a lump to your throat, whether they're occasions that are happy or sad or quite unremarkable. For whatever is happening in those moments, Buechner says, they are the moments in which you have been stirred to your roots. And it is there, at your roots, that God is at work in your life. Examine those moments with great care. Ask why they brought tears or a lump to the throat. And you will learn much about God and about yourself, too. Now, the Olympics seem to have touched the heartstrings of many of us in these last 2 weeks. I know that I can't help myself. I just turn the TV on at 7, and God only knows what time I turn it off. But I know it's not just me who's been affected by the Olympics, because I've heard many of you talk about it. And it's not just the athletic types either. Some of you who wouldn't be caught dead with a ball in your hand or on a court are watching too. Somehow, even in the midst of these nationalistic, medal-counting, chest-thumping games, there's something that moves the human spirit. Somewhere, even in the midst of all the commercialized Coke and Nike competitions, there's something that touches the soul. I mean, there are the winners, of course. You know, Michael Phelps with his 8 gold medals, and Nastia Lukin, this incredibly graceful winner of the women's all-round in gymnastics. And then early this morning, the gold medal in men's basketball was restored to its rightful home in the United States of America. Okay, so basketball gets my American blood flowing. All right, I was a little out of line there, but still. But it really isn't just about the winning, is it? I mean, it's about watching Michael Phelps, but it's also about watching his mother, God bless her soul. I mean, a school principal in Baltimore, Maryland, who, you know, the day after the last race, she's back to work, if she could possibly ever go back to work after that. And it's not just about Nastia winning the gold medal. It's also about her cheering on her top rival, but also apparently genuine friend, Sean Johnson, who's from West Des Moines, Iowa, of all places, who walked into a gymnastics school there and stayed there and trained all in West Des Moines, Iowa, and whose parents mortgaged and remortgaged and remortgaged again their home so that they could pay for her training. And it's about the basketball players who, you know, usually think are only in it for the money, but you find them in other arenas. They're watching other athletes compete in other sports and cheering them on. So despite the commercialism and despite the national competition and the medal counting, it's really the human moments that shine through. I mean, who could not be moved by the swimmer from South Africa, Natalie Dutoit, who lost her left leg in a motorbike accident 7 years ago, yet competes in the open water swimming event? And it's not just for show. She was 4th in the world earlier this year, and in the Olympics she finished 16th. But it's Natalie's story, even more than the winners, that we will remember. Dara Torres is 41 years old. She missed gold in the pool by 1/100th of a second. Well, I'm looking down at 41 these days, and so I see that and I go, wow, that's something. And the winner of the women's marathon, Constantina Tomescu-Dita of Romania, she's 38 and has a kid, and she won the marathon. And did you notice she won it, and then she just kept on running for 5 minutes after running 2 hours and 28 minutes. She's still running. Wow. And then there are the ones that break your heart, too. Matthias Steiner, a German weightlifter, who began saving money with his wife so that she would be able to go to Beijing and watch him compete in the games, except that she died in a car accident a year ago. And when Matthias Steiner won his gold medal, he dedicated it to his wife. Lolo Jones, someone I hadn't heard of, the best hurdler in the world, apparently, except that on the next to last hurdle, she clipped it with her heel, and instead of being first, she fell out of the medals. and with such grace. And she went to the interview, you know, the obligatory interview with the commentators, and shook her head and with a wry smile said, you know, I hit a hurdle twice a year, and it just so happened that one of them was in the biggest race of all. And she smiled again and walked away, and you thought, what poise. And then the cameras went where they probably shouldn't have and saw her in the tunnel leading out from the stadium, leaning against the wall and sobbing. And how about the man who carried the flag, the American flag, in the opening ceremonies? Not born in America, born in the Sudan. He's one of the lost boys of the Sudan who was fortunate enough to survive the terrible warfare that still rages there and now runs track for the United States and also for Team Darfur, that international collection of athletes who are also running for the people who are still suffering in the Sudan. What a moment when our country, our athletes chose him to carry the American flag. And another, they keep going, but Oksana Shusovanita is a 33-year-old gymnast. She's 10 years older than the next oldest gymnast. She won a team gold medal for the Soviets in 1992. And this year, she won a silver in vault, but for the German team. Why did she switch countries? Well, it wasn't political, it was personal. Back home in Uzbekistan, her 9-year-old son, Alisher, was diagnosed with leukemia. But there were no oncology hospitals in Uzbekistan. And in desperation, she called a coach that she knew in Germany who arranged for her family to move to Germany where Alisher could be treated for his illness. And now Alisher is cancer-free and something of a gymnast himself, and Oksana continues to compete in the sport that may well have saved her son's life. Those are just a few of the moments that brought a lump to my throat as I sat glued to the television, and you no doubt saw many more. But what is it? What is it about those moments that affect us so powerfully? Well, if we take Preacher Buechner's advice, we'd better pay attention to those moments, because those are opportunities to really learn something about what God is doing in our lives. He's stirring up the roots of our lives. That's what the Apostle Paul was counseling. Did you hear him when he said, we're to think, to reflect, to pay attention to those things that bring to mind the things of God? As Paul knew, and as Christianity and other religions teach us well, it's paying attention. Paying attention to what's going on in our lives that tells us, that gives us clues to what God is doing inside. And so Paul tells us to think on those things that are honorable and just and pure, gracious and pleasing and commendable, and particularly today for the things that are true. Because I think what clutches our hearts in these moments as we watch the Olympics is that they are true to our experience of life. I mean, in the Olympics, life is lived to the extremes. Triumphant joy in one moment and disillusioned grief in the next. Great happiness and incredible disappointment. And sometimes they're in the same frame. I mean, last night, the Chinese diver who had led all the way through the competition and was practically flawless blew his last dive. And the Australian diver who really thought he was hoping to medal ends up winning the gold. And in the same frame, the picture, you have the Australian diver being congratulated and tears of disbelief streaming down his cheeks, and the Chinese diver right there behind him with tears also of disbelief streaming down his cheeks as well. It's those extremes that the camera emphasizes to us, and the winning and the losing of medals are only a symbol of those extremes. It's the joy and the grief that catch us. Because those are experiences we can relate to. Even if it's only a longing for a joy that we may never know, or the fear of a grief we'll not be able to escape. We live between those two, the joy and the fear, somewhere in between. And sometimes, well, all of us at one time or another knows a lot about both of those extremes. But in the Olympics, time and time again, we're confronted by the powerful image of that joy, the joy that comes when the dream of a lifetime is realized, but also that grief, the grief that hits when the dream of a lifetime is shattered. And so we watch because we too are people who have dreams. If you think about it, we could have our own little Olympics right here. If the people in this room shared the stories of your lives, we too would come up with some amazing stories of grief, but of joy, of discipline, of despair, of sticking to it no matter what, of hanging in there, of faithfulness, all those things the people in this room could speak of. So what do we learn from those moments in which we're moved by the experience of another person? What does that tell us about ourselves or about God? Well, there may be a number of answers. Each of us might have our own, but I'll suggest one. We've been called to live in relationship with each other, right? God made us for that. God made us to bear one another's burdens. God said, love your neighbor as yourself. But in reality, that can be a very difficult thing to do. It's hard to totally forget our own concerns in order to concentrate on the needs of another. But as Nastia bounced across the floor in her gold medal winning floor exercise, or as Lolo Jones sobbed in the tunnel outside the stadium, I did set aside whatever I was thinking about or whatever I was had to worry about in that moment and really felt as nearly as I could what they were feeling, the joy of Nastia's victory and the incredible despair of Lolo's loss. And if you were watching, I'll bet you did too. It's a reflex. You almost don't have control over it. Just for a moment, personal concerns are set aside and you really do feel something of what they feel, just for a moment. But then things come back to normal and the distance between us as people returns and I no longer emphasize so strongly with them because it's safer and it's easier to keep that distance, to protect ourselves from the energy it takes and the sacrifices we make to really feel what another person feels. We don't often let ourselves feel those extremes of joy and grief for fear they will ask too much of us. But because of moments like that, when you're just watching the Olympics and it just hits you, we remember that something within us really does long to share the experience of another person. That something within us is a reminder, I think. It's a sign of who God created us to be, that we're people made to live with and for each other, to share those experiences and those feelings in a way that is vulnerable and yet powerful and deep. And it's in those brief moments when we really do set aside our own concerns and forget ourselves and feel so deeply for another person that we receive a clue to what God is like. For in our reflex reaction to those experiences of great joy and tremendous grief, we reach a degree of compassion for others that we do not always feel. It's a reflection, however dim, of who God is. That in some mysterious, incredible way, God feels what we feel. God shares our joys and our griefs and everything in between. Imagine a moment like the ones we've been discussing, in which you found yourself so moved by the experience of another person that all you could feel was what they felt. Maybe it was during the Olympics. Maybe it was more personal when one of your children was sick, or when you care about achieved some long sought after goal. Your own concerns put aside, and you really felt as nearly as you could the heartache or the gladness of that person. And then go the next step and realize that's the way God experiences you. Except all the time. St. Augustine put it this way, God loves each and every one of us as though there were only one of us to love. Somehow, God understands and knows and feels what you feel. It's an incredible thing to think that the one eternal God, whose ways are higher than our ways, thoughts are higher than our thoughts, who created all the universe, actually knows exactly what you're feeling, what you're experiencing, what you're knowing. And not just you, but everyone else as well. That's an amazing thing, if it's true. And to me, it's a sign that it is true, is that here and there and now and then, you and I can have that experience. We really can feel what another person feels. And if we can do that, then God can as well. That's the testimony of the Bible. God hears the cries of the Hebrew slaves in Egypt and responds to those cries. The prophets talk time and time again of God's grieving over what is happening to the orphan and to the widow and to the stranger. And if there's any doubt that God feels what we feel, isn't that what the whole coming of Christ is about? The world became flesh and dwelled among us, full of grace and truth, that Christ came and gave up the glory and the power being God to become a baby, a helpless, defenseless child, so that we would know that God truly does know what we know and feel what we feel. Well, from the games of the 29th Olympiad to the compassion of Christ, that's quite a jump to make in one sermon. But it's the only way, really, for the things of God to become real to us is when we pay attention to those moments in our lives in which God is trying to say something to us. And when we pay attention to those moments, when we reflect upon them, when we listen to them, when we really do think about whatever it is that is true, whatever it is that is just, that is pure, that is lovely, that is honorable, whatever is worthy of praise, when we think about these things, then the God of peace will be with us. Pray with me. Gracious God, give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear those gold medal moments, those holy moments, when you are stirring us at our roots. We pray in Christ's name, for Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes. Amen.